4 hours a day, and I guess we should call this a Walker meeting night. And my name is Walker, and I drank Johnny Walker when I couldn't afford it. And now I present to our guest, Fred Walker.
Thank you very much, Ken. Well, my name is Rich Walker, and my wife Agnes and I are here tonight at the request of Jack and Marge Wilson. I was here last year. We were here last year, and I make it a try to get up here once a year to see my friend Jack. Jack and Marge come down to Daytona Beach in Florida once a year to where we go in the wintertime, so it's kind of a swapping back and forth. It's always a pleasure to be here. My name is Rich Walker, as I said, and I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be sober. In fact, I'm glad to be alive. Every morning when I wake up and see that sun come in the window, I thank God that he's given me another day to live. A great many people I drank with around Boston are no longer alive, and I'm lucky. I feel I'm one of the lucky ones who have found AA and to live to be alive tonight. I'm also glad to have the fellowship that I found in AA and the faith that AA has given me, renewed in me, and the chance to do something with my life, the chance to be of some service to my fellow man, which makes life worth living. Now, I drank for about 30 years, and I went through all those experiences that all of us alcoholics go through. But I found, and I'm one of the lucky few that have found AA. I say one of the lucky few because there are only a couple hundred thousand of us out of many millions that need our program throughout the world. I was a drunk 15 years ago when I came into AA. In fact, I was a wreck. AA is a great rebuilder of human wreckage. It takes a drunk like me and offers them a program which, if they're willing to follow it, not only enables them to get sober, but to find a much better way of living. Now, I believe that I was a potential alcoholic from the start. I remember that I felt unloved, unwanted, and unneeded. I had an inferiority complex. I didn't get along well with people. I had a shell, and I built a wall between myself and other people. And as a result, I was very lonely. Like many alcoholics, I was not well adjusted to life. And I drank to escape. I had the temperament, the constitution, or the makeup that enabled me to become an alcoholic. Alcoholism is not inherited, as you know, but a certain disposition, a certain nervous inferiority type makes us liable to become alcoholics, and I was that type. But I found a way to stop drinking through AA. Now, if there are any newcomers here, I would suggest that they just relax and take it easy, because you're in the right place if you're having trouble with your drinking. I want to start by saying there's no cure for alcoholism. I guess you all know that. And we have to accept the fact that we'll never be able to drink normally again. But if you want to stop, if you want to find sobriety in AA, we can help you. 22 years ago, a little more than that, down in New York City, a candle was lighted over a kitchen table. That lighted candle was passed from one man's hand to another out in Akron, Ohio. And those lighted candles were passed from hand to hand until a great new light has come into this dark world of alcoholism, which is now spreading all over the world. And we members of AA have a chance. We each have a lighted candle, and we have a chance to do our share to pass this word around to those suffering alcoholics that still need help. Now, as far as my personal story goes, I went through those three stages of so-called social drinking, trouble drinking, and merry-go-round drinking. During my so-called social drinking, I say so-called because as I look back, I know now that I never did drink socially. I never was content with two drinks and then go home, or whatever social drink he is. A cocktail or two or something like that never satisfied me from the very beginning. But I wasn't so different from the people I drank with in those days. And so I didn't notice. The fact that I was an alcoholic didn't become evident. It was dormant. I always drank too much from the very beginning. But people didn't notice it, particularly at that time. But then my alcoholism began to get evidence. People began to notice it. And I began to get in trouble. I was arrested 3 times for drunken driving around Boston. And I spent several nights in jail. I was given 1.5 years to correction down on Deer Island. But I didn't serve it because I bought my way out of it. I was in several hospitals around Boston. Once for 2 weeks with pneumonia, and that took me into the DT. And I was out of this world for 2 weeks. I saw those old brown men climbing up over my bed. I saw these animals fighting down by the side of my bed. I was floating through the air on trapeze. And when I came to, I was very weak. I didn't know my name or what year it was. But gradually I came to, and the doctor, I talked to a psychiatrist, and he said, if you ever drink again, you probably won't live. So I immediately went out and started to drink again. I was lying in a hospital, and finally my wife, who is with me here tonight, sent a lawyer over to say that she never wanted to see me again. And I thought that was a good idea. We had a nice home and 3 children. But I wanted freedom. I wanted to drink as I wanted to drink. And I didn't want to have any responsibility or to be tied down to anything. So then began my merry-go-round drinking. I went down to Nantucket Island and stayed drunk all summer. And I came up to Boston and I got a little room on Beacon Street. And I stayed drunk all winter. I say stay drunk all winter, that's exaggeration probably, but I go down to the office and I stop on the way and have a couple of shots of whiskey to steady my nerves. I go down to the office for 1 or 2 and then I go up to lunch and have 3 or 4 ales in my lunch and go back to the office for a little while. Then meet a friend of mine up at my favorite bar room and drink with him until he went home. And then went up to some hotel bar and sat there until they closed the place up. And stumbled home to my little room, drunk enough so I could sleep. That's what I call marriage around drinking. I'd thrown away everything that was worth living for. One morning I woke up in that little room. The place was full of empty bottles, and it smelled, cigarette butts and everything. And I didn't want to drink. And I don't know to this day why I didn't want to drink. But I guess I had that terrible moment of clarity when I could see myself as I really was, and I didn't like myself. I hated everything about myself. I was disgusted with myself. I had a repulsion against my way of living. And I got down on my knees and I said, oh God, if there is a God, help me now to find a better way of living. So I went out to a friend's house out in Newton, and stayed for a couple of weeks until I got over the worst of the shakes. Then later on, I met my wife at my father's funeral, and she took me back on the basis that I'd never take another drink, and I was sure I never would. But I was working out in the garden back of my house one day, and I said, I think I'll take a ride on my bicycle. So I rode down to the next town. The first thing you know, I was in a bar, and I was drinking beer. The next thing, I was in a hotel in Boston. Drunk for a whole week. And when I came to myself, I came home. And I spent 3 or 4 days in bed. And I suffered those tortures only we alcoholics know. I had had my spiritual experience. I turned my life over to God. I'd asked for sobriety, but I hadn't come into AA. As soon as I got strong enough, I couldn't do it alone. So as soon as I got strong enough, I came into AA in Boston. And that was 15 years ago, and I never had a drink since. Now, what made me ready to take AA? What makes any man ready to accept this program? I believe that a man has got to have something left. We don't get too many people off Skid Row. Many of those don't have enough left to want a better way of living. And incidentally, I'd like to say that it's more important, in my opinion, everything I say is only my opinion, to want a better way of life than it is to merely want to buy it. If a man has some moral, religious, or spiritual training, he's a better prospect for AA. And when he reaches that condition of soul sickness that I was speaking of, when he's turned against himself and his way of living, when his life has become intolerable to himself, at that crucial moment he turns instinctively to whatever decency is left in him. And he calls upon whatever reserves of morality and faith or whatever he has left down in his heart. And this amounts to a spiritual experience, in my opinion. As the big book says, he taps an unsuspected inner resource, which he later identifies as a power greater than himself. Now, I faced a crisis when I woke up in that little lonely room in Boston, having thrown away everything in my life that was of any value. I finally reached the bottom, and I was ready for Alpha. I was ready for AA. If we only knew what makes a man reach his bottom, we'd be better, we'd be more able to help him. There have been other crises in my life. When I was put in jail, it made me mad because they took my money away and wouldn't let me use the telephone. When I woke up in the hospital after I had the DTs, the only thing I could think of was to go out and get another drink. And when I woke up in bed in that lonely room, I'd reach under my bed for that bottle of whiskey and throw a nice, tall, big tumble full of whiskey and drink it down until I had that warm feeling go down through me, my very tips of my toes, and I went back to sleep. I wanted oblivion. But this time, I was ready. This time, I didn't want any more to drink. I wanted to learn how to live. I'd reached my bottom. And all of us in AA, I believe, that come into the program and accept it, have reached their bottom. Now, your almost here said, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. We always get worse, we never get any better. And no matter how long you've been sober, if you take just one drink, you're as bad or worse than you ever were before. And there's no exception to this rule in the whole history of AA. In the last of my drinking, I tried to recapture the good times of the past. I thought after my wife kicked me out that I could be free again and live the way I wanted to live. But instead of finding freedom, I found slavery to drink. Now, I'll always be an alcoholic until the day I die. It's no disgrace to be an alcoholic. It's a sickness. But it is a disgrace if you know you're an alcoholic and don't do something about it. You've also heard it said that alcoholism is a progressive illness. And it certainly is. At one time, as I told you, I had a good home, a wife, three children, and a good position in business. At another time, as a result of my drinking, I was alone, no home, no family. I'd lost my home, my family, my self-respect, and everything that made life worthwhile. Yes, alcoholism is a progressive illness, and there are only three ends to it: jail, insane asylum, or death, if we continue to drink. When I came into AA, I made a tremendous discovery. I found out that I was a sick person rather than just a drunken bum or a moral leper. I wasn't such a queer bird as I thought I was. As I walk along the river and try to get up courage to jump in because I'd thrown my life away, I thought I was going crazy. I thought there was nothing left for me to live for. But when I came into AA, I found other people that had been through the same thing I've been through, who talked my language, who had suffered the same things I'd suffered. And yet they had found a new way to live. They found a way to live without liquor. So hope was born in me that day. I thought to myself, if they can do it, I can do it. I thought perhaps that I could get sober too. Now, you often hear it said that a man comes into AA for one purpose only, and that's to get sober. And that's true. But it doesn't mean that we can attack the problem of alcoholism directly. In other words, we don't have any little pink pills that we can give you to make you find sobriety. Now, the doctor attacks alcoholism directly. He uses medicine to sober us up temporarily. But doctors cannot keep us sober. They admit that there is no cure for alcoholism, that they have no cure for alcoholism. Now, doctors use antabuse, the aversion treatment, the shock treatment, the tranquilizing pills, the sanitarium, and these treatments sober us up, but they don't keep us sober. The doctors attack this problem of alcoholism directly with medication, and it sobers us up, but it doesn't keep us sober. Now, the AA program attacks this problem indirectly. It offers us a spiritual program, a new way of life, embodied in the 12 steps. And if we follow this program day by day, we can stay sober and live comfortably without alcohol. This better way of living that we learn in AA takes the place of our drinking life, of our alcoholic way of living. And when we find this new way of life, we no longer need to drink. Now, if you hear people say sometimes in AA, I wish I could drink, I wish that the doctors could give me something so I could drink normally. I think people who say that sort of thing are only kidding themselves. I speak only from my own experience, that I know very well that I never would want to drink normally. If the doctors had a pill that could give me so I'd be satisfied with two drinks and go home, or a cocktail before dinner, I'd say to hell with it. It's no good for me. If I have a drink, I want to get drunk. Or at least I want to get enough to feel very good. So if the doctors could figure out some way of making a normal drinker out of me, I wouldn't want it. I like this AA program too well. And liquor would have no point in my life. Now, if you're an alcoholic, you can't fight your alcohol. There's so many people think that you can fight it, that willpower, that you can overcome it by willpower. That is not true. If you have this disease of alcoholism, you cannot fight it. If you get into the ring with John Barleycorn, he'll knock you down every time. Now, it's hard to admit that we're fighting a losing battle. As long as we take that first drink, we're in trouble, and it always will be as long as we live. But the AA program substitutes something else for drinking. It gives you something to put into your life that takes the place of drinking, which is far better than drinking. And if you follow the AA program, you don't have to drink, you don't need to drink, and you don't want to drink. Now, if that seems hard to believe, just look around you at some of these people that have been in AA for a while, and you see men and women who have been drunk like yourself, but are now happily sober and are able to live good lives without drinking. Now, what does AA substitute for our drinking? It substitutes a program of 12 steps, 12 suggested steps. And these are the things that we put into our lives to take the place of drinking. By substituting these things for drinking, we're able to live reasonably happy lives without drinking. Now, a new man comes into AA, or a new woman, and his first question he asks is, how do I get the strength to quit? He sees all the members who have seen who have acquired their strength to get along without alcohol, but he can't see how they achieved this strength. Well, I think we alcoholics find this strength in four ways. First, we get strength that we need just from this fellowship, from being with other people who have been through the same things you've been through, who are your kind, who you can talk to freely, who understands you and sympathize with you and are ready to help you. Just being in a place like that, for us alcoholics, it's like coming home again, being among your own kind. And many people stay sober just on the fellowship for a long, long time. And second, strength comes from sharing our experiences with each other. We tell about our experiences with alcohol. We're not afraid to tell the things we did and admit the tough times we had with drinking. And when we get these things off our chest, when we get out to put our cards out on the table and face ourselves as we really are, it gives us that added strength that we need to stay sober. And in the third place, drinking comes from belief in that great higher power that we hear spoken out here. They can help you. And when you have admitted that you're powerless over alcohol, and turn to this great spirit of the universe for the strength that you need, you can get that strength. There's a lot of power in prayer. And that is the third way that we get the strength we need. And finally, we get strength from trying to help the other folks. Just the experience of trying to pass this program on to some suffering alcoholic, to feel that we're doing something with our life that is some value, that gives us that added strength that we need. To see another fellow lying there in bed in the condition that you are in gives us that strength that keeps us going. And in these four ways, thousands of alcoholics have found all the strength they need to stay sober, stay happily sober. Now, I believe that every alcoholic, when he comes into AA, has a personality problem. His drinking expresses his maladjustment to life. Drinking is a symptom of an emotional conflict. And he drinks to escape from life, from that feeling of loneliness that I spoke of. A man who is drinking is in pain, and he drinks to deaden the pain of living, facing life. Alcohol is the anesthetic of a man in pain. And I don't think a man can stop drinking until he somehow finds a way to solve this personality problem. This problem is not solved by going on the wagon or taking the pledge. Many people have been helped that way, but most people, when they take a pledge or go on the wagon, they're only waiting for the time to be up. They themselves have not changed. Their personality is the same, like a New Year's resolution. You haven't changed, so when the time comes that your pledge or your going on a wagon is up, then you're ready to drink again. The fundamental problem has not been touched. And I think the AA program solves this problem by allowing us to recover three things. First, a man recovers his personal integrity. His personal integrity. What a great thing that is. What that means to us alcoholics. He pulls himself together. He gets honest. He faces himself as he really is. He takes a personal inventory and makes restitution for the things that he's done that are wrong. And he starts out with a clean slate. He doesn't carry that load of guilt with him. And he lives on a 24-hour-a-day basis. He gives up his hates and resentments and his fears and his worries. And he begins a new way of living. And this way he recovers his personal integrity. And second, he recovers his faith in God. He starts living as if he were a God on an experimental basis. And he tries praying and he finds that he gives him the strength that he needs. He tries to do God's will. He gets into this stream of goodness. He crosses over from the dark side of the street to the sunny side of the street. And he starts walking down the street, looking people in the eye and putting good into his life. He surrenders his life to God, and he puts his drink problems in God's hands. And he tries to live the way he believes God wants him to live. And so he recovers his faith. And third, he recovers his proper relationships with his fellow men. He becomes more unselfish, and he stops being the center of the universe, with the universe revolving around him. He begins to think more of other people than he does of himself. What happens to him is not so important. And so he's no longer lonely. He tries to help other people, and he tries to live with other people. And so he recovers his proper relationships with his fellow men. So to sum up what I've just tried to say, an alcoholic is a man with a personality problem, and he can't stop drinking until he solves this problem. And by following the AA program, he recovers his personal integrity, his faith in a power greater than himself that can help him, and a new way of getting along with his fellow men. If he does these three things, I believe that he can solve this problem and learn to live as a normal human being. In AA, we have sort of a mental re-education. We try to re-educate our minds so that we learn to think differently. And we come to believe that drink is our greatest enemy. I used to think that drink was my friend. But I found that somewhere along the line it turned against me. When I began to get into trouble, when I began to get arrested for drunken driving, lying in hospitals, losing my wife and family, I began to realize that liquor was my enemy. The sad thing about drinking is that all these things happen to us, and we don't admit that it's through our drinking. We always blame it on something else. But once we realize that liquor has become our deadly enemy and can never be our friend again, then we can find a way to live without it. In AA, we have the privilege of living two lives in one lifetime. One life of drunkenness, failure, and defeat. But then another life of sobriety, peace of mind, and helpfulness. We have, who have recovered our sobriety through AA, are modern nurses. Many of us would have been dead long ago if we had not found AA. We've had another chance to live, and we owe a debt of gratitude to AA that we can never repay as long as we live. Now, the AA way of living may not be an easy one, but it's an adventure in living that makes life worthwhile. It's so much better than the old drunken way of living that there's no comparison. Our lives without AA wouldn't be worth anything. With AA, we have a chance to live decent lives, and it's worth the battle. No matter how tough the going is, remember that, no matter how tough the going is, it's worth the battle. And we have the choice every day. We can take that path that leads to drunkenness and death, or we can take the path that leads to a reasonable, happy life. God grant that we all take the right path each day. You know, in AA, our values change. What was valuable to us when we were drinking becomes far less valuable to us when we find sobriety. For instance, I wanted great wealth, but now I want to be grateful for what I have. I wanted pleasure, but now I want to find happiness by doing the right thing. I wanted recognition, but I had to find humility. I wanted to have security, but now I want to do something worthwhile with my life. I wanted to dominate others, but now I want to sympathize with them. I wanted a false popularity, but now I want to be sincere and honest in what I say and do. I wanted independence, but now I want to do something for my fellow man. In many ways, our values change when we come into AA. Now, it's not the length of our sobriety that counts, it's the quality of it. And a man who's been in AA only a few months might have a better quality of sobriety than a man who's been in for many years. The important thing is to keep practicing these principles in all our affairs and keep our sobriety up from day to day. As I stand here, I might not have that quality of sobriety which I might pretend to have. We can't see into the other person. It's between him and his own conscience and his God as to the quality of his sobriety today. And none of us are perfect or ever will be perfect. Now, as we progress in the AA program, I think we begin to get these principles of AA from our head down into our heart. But you know, we can know a lot about this program without practicing it in our everyday life. The wonderful thing about the AA program is that we can keep growing in it as long as we live, for the rest of our lives. And this growth in AA, I think, comes as a process of getting these things that we learn in our head down into our heart so that we practice them in our everyday life. And when you hear a speaker say something that means something to you, that accords with your own experience, you say to yourself, that's true. I believe that. I want that. And then it becomes part of you. And you start living it in your life. And then that thing becomes something that you live by. It moves from your head down into your heart. And we can keep on going in AA as long as we live. We'll never get any diplomas. We'll never graduate. In fact, we'll never arrive at any particular place in life. We'll always be either going forward or backward. Little by little, the AA principles will, if we keep at this program day by day, So move from our heads down into our hearts so that we can listen day by day. Now, I think one of the finest things about this AA program is the peace and serenity that it can bring if you follow it. The peace of mind that we all seek. In my drinking days, I had no peace of mind or serenity. In fact, I had the exact opposite. I had an inner conflict, a kind of a quiet desperation, not knowing what I'd do with my life, day from day by day. And that desperation was caused by hangovers, anxiety, remorse, loneliness, all those things that we alcoholics know so well. But in AA, I have achieved a certain peace of mind and serenity that I never thought were possible before. This peace of mind, I think, is based on a feeling that fundamentally all is well. It doesn't mean that all is well on the surface of things. Little things can keep going wrong, and big things can keep upsetting you. But down deep in your heart, you can feel that everything's going to be all right, provided you do your best day by day. God has a purpose for my life, which will work out as long as I try to live the way I believe He wants me to live. My cousin Mammy once said that she was in the world like a loose cannon. To me, this means not to be too upset by small things, by sensitive things, by small things that happen to you, but to feel deeply secure in the fundamental goodness of the universe. We can all wear the world as a slightly loose cannon and not let things upset us too much. I'm beginning to realize what it's like to be at peace with the world, to have that deep inner security which we all seek. Of course, perfect serenity is impossible for us in this world. There are too many problems for that. But we can have more and more of it if we are growing spiritually and getting rid of more of our defects of character and improving our conscious contact with God. And as I go along, AA becomes more and more precious to me. AA starts becoming precious to us when we accept the fact that we're alcoholics and that we'll never be able to drink again. The depth of that acceptance, we do not know until we run into something real tough. I've seen AAs go through some pretty rough times and come through with flying colors because they have accepted down deep in their hearts the fact that they're alcoholics and there's nothing in this life that can happen to them that a drink wouldn't make worse. That a drink wouldn't make worse. And AA becomes precious to me when I appreciate this fellowship that we have here, this chance to have meetings like this we're having here tonight, to get together and help each other and understand each other. This fellowship becomes very precious. It's the finest fellowship in the world, in my opinion. And AA becomes precious to me when I have surrendered my life to a higher power. When I've got into that great force of good that there is in the world, when I've got into that stream of good that's everywhere around us, and when I try to put good into my life, I take good out. When we live the way we believe God wants us to live, the whole power of the universe is behind us if we try to do the right thing. And AA becomes precious to us when we take an inventory. And gradually as we grow, we get more insight into ourselves and see more of the things that are wrong with us. I have many things wrong with me. I'm impatient. I'm critical. And I'm trying little by little to get rid of these blocks because these are things, worries, fears, resentments, hates, those are things that block us off from this great force for good in the world that can make our lives worthwhile. And then AA becomes precious to us when we make restitution for the wrong we've done, when we get rid of that load of guilt that we've been carrying around with us, when we realize, when we believe that God has forgiven us for the bad things that we did when we were drinking, when we can start each day with a clean slate and write on it what we will. And AA becomes precious to us when we learn to live one day at a time, when we realize that all we have is now, this present moment. If we do the right thing now, these nows will string out in a long line behind us, and we'll make up our past. And we don't have to worry about the future because it won't be ours until it becomes now. So if I do the right thing now, do the best I can in this present moment, I don't have to carry any load of guilt for the past, nor do I need to worry about the future. And A becomes very precious to me when I try to carry the message to others. I never sobered anybody up in my life, because if they were ready, I couldn't say the wrong thing. If they weren't ready, I couldn't say the right thing. But just trying to help others, to try to pass this message along to the suffering alcoholic, gives us a feeling of usefulness. It makes our life worthwhile. It gives us something to build your life on. And so those things are the things that make AA very precious to me. And I hope that they always will be precious, and I'll never lose that desire to follow these wonderful principles of AA. That serenity prayer which we decided before this meeting, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. What a wonderful prayer that is. The things that we can't change, the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. We can't change our circumstances very much, the circumstances in which we live. We can't change other people. Think of the millions of words that are wasted of telling another person what's wrong with him. So many times people told us what was wrong with us. Did it do us any good? No. We can't change other people. We can't change our past life. The things that happened to us when we were drinking, have all passed by. There's not a thing we can do about it now. All the trouble I got into from drinking and all the things that I did, I can't change one bit of that past. I can only hope that God has forgiven me for those things which I did, and that He will give me the strength to do the right thing today. Now, the courage to change the things I can. There are things we can change. We can change ourselves by accepting the fact that we're alcoholics, by admitting that we're never able to drink again. We can change that outlook on life. We can change our companionship by spending a lot of time with other members of AA and doing the best we can to forward this great AA movement. And we can change our thinking. We can turn to a power greater than ourselves and believe that that strength is there if we ask for it. And we can change ourselves by taking inventory and getting rid of these things that are holding us back. And we can change by making restitution for the wrongs we've done, getting rid of these guilt complexes. And we can change our way of living by living one day at a time. And we can change our actions by trying to help others. To live and let live, to be helpful, to think less of ourselves and more of others. So there are quite a few things we can change in our lives. And now we need the wisdom to know the difference. We need the wisdom to know the things that we can change, our circumstances, other people, our past. And the things that we can change, the things that are wrong inside of us. And many things that we can change. So gradually, I think we get the wisdom to know the difference between what we can change and what we can't. Now I think our lives should be expanding right up to the end. You know, the trouble in old age is that people become sort of useless and unwanted in their old age. I'm getting up in that category myself, and so I believe that our interests should keep on broadening, even when we get older. We should keep on making new friends, and we should keep widening our horizons. The natural end for drinking alcoholics to die alone. He withdraws more and more from life until the final end of the drinking alcoholic is to die alone by himself. He ends up all alone. But we should end our lives, if possible, still with making many new contacts, having new interests, and making new friends. That's what AA gives to us. It gives us a chance to expand our lives right up to the very end. And when we come to the end of our lives, we'll take nothing with us, except those few things that we've given away. Maybe the few kind words we've spoken, maybe a few kind deeds we've done. That's all we're going to take with us. We're not going to take any big houses or automobiles or fine clothes with us when we go. But we may be remembered for the few decent things we did with our lives. We drunk who have thrown our lives away and have been given a chance to do something worthwhile. I think those few things that we are able to do, we take with us when we go. At least people will remember us for them. So we try to build our lives as you might build a house, on the foundation of sobriety, because you can't build a life unless you have some foundation on which to build. And we have no life unless we have sobriety. And we build the framework of our lives out of self-discipline, not letting ourselves get too emotionally upset, too fearful, too hateful, too resentful. We try to keep a tight rein on our emotions. And we build the walls of our life out of trying to be of service to our fellow man. And we can build a roof over our lives out of that deep faith that God will take care of us if we do the best we can to live this way. And we can build a garden around our lives out of this peace and serenity that we can find if we live the right way. And in that garden we can plant the white flowers of serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the red flowers of courage to change the things we can, and the golden flowers of wisdom to know the difference. Now, failure is not final. Failure is not fatal. Failure is not fatal, and success is not final. Well, always remember that we have a daily reprieve. As the big book says, we have a daily reprieve dependent upon our following the AA program, day by day, faithfully. And the final thought I'd like to leave with you is this. Live each day as though it were your last. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this recording. Please check out our website at sobrietytalks.com. You can also contact us by sending an email to sobrietytalks@aol.com. Thank you.